The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Dr. Brendan Stack is world famous in temporomandibular joint disorders, or TMJ disorders, and he's developed a technique in which he has successfully treated patients with anything from migraines to facial pain to movement disorders such as facial tics and head jerks and other such things, and he's even treated patients with Parkinson's disease. Now, he is retired now, but he has got a doctor that has actually taken his place called Dr. Jeffrey Brown, and he's here with me today along with Dr. Stack, and we're going to be talking about this procedure and what it does and how it works and how it can benefit many, many patients who otherwise are getting very little to no help with some of these disorders. Well, Dr. Stack, Dr. Brown, I'm really honored to have you on the show today, and I'm very excited to discuss this technique and what it does, because this is something that not many people really get help with, and it's baffled the medical community. But, Dr. Stack, you have seemed to have, really hit on something, and you've got years of research and study and practice and experience and results, and I'm really anxious to talk about this. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Dr. Stack, you developed this technique. First, tell us what this technique is and what it does.
Well, basically, it's to keep the lower jaw from digging into the base of the skull, where it hinges in front of the ear, and it distracts the joint, which is called a temporomandibular joint, and minimizes the pressure at the base of the skull. And then we rearrange the teeth so they support this new jaw position.
Okay, so what gets the jaw in a bad position to start with? I mean, what causes it to get out of alignment?
There's a little piece of cartilage in the joint in front of the ear, like there's a knee in the kneecap. And it's due to trauma that this gets dislocated or out of place. And the trauma can be any trauma, from sports injuries to grinding their teeth. Mm-hmm.
Some people talk about that, if you talk too much, you can mess up your TMJ. Now, tell me that's not true, because I tend to talk a lot.
Oh, wait a minute. I use that every day, Beverly, with my wife.
Uh-oh. I knew it was coming. Because I've had a little bit of trouble with my jaw popping a little. I just kind of ignore it and go on. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but I hadn't noticed it in a while. But can talking really, if you talk too much, can it really affect your joint?
It will aggravate it. If the joint is already affected, it will increase the problem.
Okay.
I don't think initially it's a cause.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. But teeth grinding at night, and I've been told I do that by dentists, that can definitely cause it, which does make sense.
Well, how does your dentist know that? Does he sleep with you?
Well, no, he doesn't.
Okay.
Well, I'm trusting that he knows what he's talking about. Maybe he doesn't. He says something about the way my front teeth are. They get little indentions or something, and that's what he says. Maybe he's just guessing, huh? So what test do you do to know that? Do you do a sleep study test?
First, we examine the patient by palpation. We palpate all the muscles and bones of the head and neck.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, and this is very crucial, we image the jaw joint.
Okay.
And there's several ways to do this. There are x-rays, there are CAT scans, there are MRIs. The best way is a combination of MRIs plus x-rays to see if the joint has assumed a different position other than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fix it to a normalized position instead of just treating the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
We figure out what is the cause of the symptoms, and then we treat that. Most people don't do that anymore. They just treat the symptoms of the patient by pain suppression pharmaceutically, and that's totally different from our approach.
Mm-hmm. So you're initially looking for the, which makes sense, but you're initially looking for the position of the TMJ.
Correct.
Now, what effect, because I'm still having a little hard time understanding this, and I know the audience does too. How does that joint being out, now understand if that joint's out of the line, you can have jaw clicking, that all just makes sense. But how can that be triggering Tourette's, you know, where you have these jerking motions and that type of a thing? To me, that seems like that would be more of a brain problem. But I don't know, I'm not a doctor, so... How does that translate into Parkinson's or some of these other disorders, which I want to talk about here in a little bit, but how does that cause those other neurological problems?
Well, Beverly, I can probably help with that one.
Okay, sure.
Behind this, and Dr. Stack originated all the thinking on this many years ago, is that the slip disc is not unlike a slip disc in your lower back. So if someone said, gee, you have a slip disc in your lower back, the light bulb goes on in your head and you say, wow, that's why my right leg hurts all the time.
Oh.
You understand that correlation.
Sure.
Now we put it up in the jaw joint. The jaw joint is terribly misunderstood. It's not taught really well in dental school, medical school, or anywhere. But the concept is this. When that disc that is on top of the jawbone is slipped inwards, it's pinching the blood vessels and the nerves just inside of the joint. And it's pinching up on what's called the auriculotemporal nerve. That's the theory behind Tourette's and movement disorders.
Okay.
And when the disc is tipped medially or inward and is pinching that nerve, it sends the noxious input to the brain to create a tick. So the patient gets this urge to have a tick, and it's from the stimulus of that nerve that's up inside the joint.
Now that makes sense. Yes, I'm glad you brought that analogy, because everybody can relate to a pinched nerve in your back if a disc.
Sure.
I didn't realize that worked that way, but that does make sense. So we have some type of a disc type thing in our joint there.
Yep. Just like a kneecap on top of the knee, it's a piece of cartilage that slides around when you open and close
mm-hmm.
your mouth.
Okay.
So right on top of the jawbone. If I had video for this, I could show you. We have mock-ups and examples and pictorials, all sorts of things that we show our patients.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like, I could probably get some pictures sent over to you.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good, yeah. And I could, we could maybe put some under the show notes and let people see that.
Great.
So, okay, so really what's happening is that's pinching a nerve. It's just pinching a nerve, which it's going to your brain, and your brain has been affected, and it's what sends the signals for everything else in the body. So do you think all of Tourette's is caused by this?
The medially slipped discs are causing Tourette's? Well, I'd say 99% of the time.
Wow.
Yeah, well, the good thing about our technique is we can tell ahead of time if it's going to cut down the movements from Tourette's.
Okay. How do you do that? How bad it's off?
We put tongue blades in the patient's mouth between their upper and lower jaws, and we alternate or change the height of them from 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 tongue blades and the position of the lower jaw forward and backwards till we see if the ticking ceases. And then once it ceases, which it invariably does, we make them a mouthpiece in the position of the tongue blades. And then we adjust the mouthpiece periodically till the abnormal movements are totally gone and stay gone.
You've got to realize, Beverly, this does not work every single time, because
uh-huh.
if the discs are stuck, sometimes you need microsurgery to unstuck them, so to speak.
Now, to unstick what?
The disc. Just think of it like
the
this.
Disc.
If the disc is jammed between the jawbone and inside near your brain, basically, the surgeon would have a very difficult time getting that out of that stuck area. One of my blogs is on the French fry stuck between the chair and the console in your car. That's what a medially slipped disc is like. So the French fry got stuck between the console and your chair. It's really hard to get to it, isn't it?
Right.
The medially slipped disc. So you might get a piece of it, you might get the whole thing up sometimes, but sometimes a surgeon can't get all of the French fry unstuck, so to speak. Uh-huh. This is how I talk to my patients, so they really get a handle on it, I think.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. So, what I wanted you to explain now, we're talking about Tourette's, and a lot of people out there may not know what that is. Explain what the Tourette syndrome is and some of the symptoms.
Wow, we have a sheet of 112 symptoms minimum.
Wow.
Blepharospasm, which is the eye blinking really, really fast. That's one. The body jerks, the shoulder jerking, hand shaking. Oh, yeah, gut clenching. The gut clenches inwards. The vocal tics, like they'll yell out the F word. Or I got a whole bunch of patients that yell out four-letter words. Another one of them pounds his chest, and you hear that going on. Then he pounds his forehead. Then he slams the floor with his feet, things like that. And of course, the ADD, OCD kids are linked into that tremendously so. A lot of these kids are extremely, extremely gifted, straight A's in school, but they're also highly ridiculed because of their behavior.
Mm-hmm. They're very sensitive too, aren't they, to a lot of...
Yeah, and the sleep ties into this quite often too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of autistic kids. You get a lot of autistic kids?
Yes. Yeah. Now, that's a little different discussion. And in the past several years, we've actually changed how we treat a lot of the autism cases. Mm-hmm. And we use what's called the ALF appliance, the ALF. Mm-hmm. And that actually stretches open the bones inside the skull a little bit to get the cerebrospinal fluid pumping better, to help the lymphatics drain, to get the blood flowing better. And if you start doing those things, the kids sleep better, function better, less symptomatic too.
Uh-huh. So now, is this with, because I mean, we've just opened up a whole can of worms here, you know, because mm-hmm. What percent of these children with autism, ADD, OCD, what percent of that is strictly just due to the TMJ problem? Because, you know, they say it's gut problems, they say, you know, it's toxins and brain problems, you know, and various things, but what percentage is due to just of their symptoms are due to the TMJ issue?
Well, Doc, 70 to 80% at least.
At least, Beverly, at least.
Really?
I can give you a quick example of four kids. One had blepharospasm, eye blinking all the time. Second, ADD, OCD, all the time, couldn't sleep. The third had constant nosebleeds due to a deviated nasal septum. And the fourth did, the grunting, all the time.
Oh.
And we fixed all four of them with ALF appliances, basically, which opened up the cranial bones, got things moving. Those four kids were mine, by the way.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
And this is Dr. Brown speaking. That's your kids.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's right.
Right. But they didn't have autism, did they?
My son Paul, they thought he did. But no, it was just like a little bit of it going on, we suspect.
Okay.
Labels. You're producing labels, mm-hmm. like saying fibromyalgia. It doesn't mean anything to us. Mm-hmm. It's a label that says you're hurting. Mm-hmm. Well, now let's figure out why you're hurting. That's what we do.
Yeah. What about the children that come in that are pretty much catatonic? I mean, do you treat any of those that are just really, can you bring those back that maybe doesn't have all of these symptoms, but some of them? I mean, that's severely autistic. You know, I use the label, but that's how we kind of identify things. But have you ever treated those that are really severely autistic?
Well, both of us have, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
And they're harder to treat because they've been, honestly, very damaged for so long.
Yeah.
That's the only way to phrase it. And you just do the best you can. One of my patients is from London, and he has cerebral palsy. And by just making the lower appliance, we increased the vertical height of his teeth, so to speak. Uh-huh. And the pressure came off the jaw joints, and he was able to speak for the first time in 10 years.
Wow.
Headache went away. But unfortunately, there's so much going on with him. He broke the experimental device, and we just haven't been able to continue with him. Travel is almost impossible.
Yeah. So now, do you also work with medical doctors with some of these severely you know, affected children with these neurological behaviors? Is there some correlation there?
We work with a few that are especially enlightened physicians. But most physicians are not clued into this area. They're busy treating symptoms with pharmaceutical suppression.
Yeah.
And that's their approach because that's all they know, which is what they learned in medical school.
Now, do y'all teach with some, you know, because doctors are supposed to have, and they do have a continuing education. They attend that, you know, they need to build up those credits for that. Have y'all been involved? Because this sounds like something that the doctors need, well, it is something that doctors need to be aware of. And this seems like this would be perfect for a continuing education course. Have y'all ever been involved in that, or do you see that in the future? Because, I mean, if these doctors are supposed to be keeping up with some of the latest, then, I mean, this should be high on the list.
Well, I can tell you, Dr. Stack has been teaching this for 40 years. I remember some of the stories of his past teachings where he'd go to places like Denmark and be introduced as the very controversial Dr. Stack.
Oh, goodness.
Because people would not believe it. I've lectured in Norway, London, Korea, Dubai. In Dubai, they listened to me for 3-4 hours, thanked me and said, interesting ideas. When I showed case after case of patients, we showed how to reduce the headaches, reduce the migraines. I deal with a lot of dystonia cases. You know, the patient's head is tipped off to the side and the shoulders stuck, and we're able to get them a life back. And I teach this stuff now. I'll be in Toronto next weekend teaching ALF and TMD, and we'll be showing a lot of cases up there. But you have to teach the dentist to let go of their old thinking. That's the only way to describe it. You have to think very, very differently. I don't see my patients much in the regular dental chairs. I first meet them and we sit in bar stools face to face. That's what Dr. Stack taught me years ago. You see the patient, you look at them as a person. I don't even look at their teeth until much later on. It doesn't really matter.
That's
true.
Forget
the joints, the bones, all of that stuff.
I'm Beverly Butler. You're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network. And I will be right back, and we're going to talk more about these TMJ problems and the other medical problems that helps. I'll be right back.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay. This is Beverly Butler, and I'm back. I'm talking to Dr. Stack and Dr. Brown, and we're talking about this new technique. It's really not new. Dr. Stack, I think, discovered this and developed it 40 years ago. But they use this to help treat, he and Dr. Brown have used this to treat patients with Tourette syndrome, with tic disorders, facial pain, head jerks, Parkinson's, and the list goes on. They've had some really good results, and we were talking about how that you have to think outside the box to really go there. And so many people, and for regular listeners of this show, you hear me talk about how, you know, we need to think outside the box, because, you know, really that's where a lot of the answers are going to be found. And if you're doing something and it's not working, then especially you need to think outside the box. And these neurological problems are really plaguing America. And we need something that's going to help these children and adults to have a better, you know, more fulfilled life, especially these new children. As Dr. Brown stated, Dr. Brown, that these children are very smart, and that's what I have been observing. A lot of these children, these new children being born, they're very sensitive. They're It's like they're a new breed of human or something, very advanced. They're more a more evolved, advanced being, and they're very smart, very intelligent, and they're very sensitive. But to me, in my observance, they're also more vulnerable. But another problem is, or they seem to be more vulnerable, but another problem is they're being born in a very, very toxic environment, and this is causing them a lot of problems. And I'm really excited, you know, like I said, to be interviewing Dr. Brown and Dr. Stack because of the discovery. Now, Dr. Stack, I wanted to ask, how did all this start? Now, you've been doing this. Of course, you're retired now. Dr. Brown is taking over your work. But Dr. Stack, you developed this and discovered this like 40 years ago, I believe. How did you discover this?
I discovered it by being asked to give a talk on TMJ problems in children at a time when the professional knowledge was that TMJ was just an old person's disease and didn't apply to children or even middle-aged people. So I was, in preparation for the talk, I was down in my basement going through about 2,000 or 3,000 cases of patients I had treated, trying to pick out children. And it was doing that where I was treating these people for these children for facial pain that I noticed they had, a lot of them had movement disorders, facial tics, head jerks, and so on, which I was not even treating them for, but which were all gone and resolved at the end of treatment. So I immediately made the connection between the TMJ pathology and the symptomatic improvement of the movement disorders. And that's how it started. And then one talk led to another, which led to videotapes and spreading the knowledge around the world as best we could. Mm-hmm. We also made a whole series of DVDs for patients, and for mainly other healthcare providers, which they could purchase, find out how to do this technique, and then treat patients on the theory that we could affect many, many, many more patients by teaching other healthcare providers to provide the service.
Yeah. Oh, and I might add, if anyone's interested in something like that, Beverly, we still have a few of those left. Dr. Stack has them, and just contact us.
Okay.
But it would give a good intro for anybody who is interested.
Yeah.
Because this is really not taught anywhere that I've discovered, and I think that's why I think it worked out so well for me taking over the practice, is I'm now carrying on the torch, and I've been teaching around the world. But it's a small group at a time is all I have time for,
right.
As Brendan did too. He only had time for a small group. The big lectures, like in front of 200 people, are done once in a while, but it's only a 1 hour quick introduction. The detailed stuff takes a lot of time and, well, a good 10-hour day for a couple of weekends here and there is what we're talking about, just to get a handle on some of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've seen some of the videos on YouTube, and I highly suggest everybody goes if you're interested, if you know of someone or suffering yourself from some of these problems, and so many people are these days. Go to YouTube. I'll have the link at the bottom of in the show notes below the podcast, and go watch some of these things. And this is pretty detailed. I mean, how long does it take when a patient initially comes for you to examine them? Because you're doing all kind of, you know, feeling around and manipulation with the head, the jaw, and everything. It's a very comprehensive examination. So what all is involved with that?
Well, it's a lot of muscles. There's dozens of muscle groups that need to be palpated and checked. And then you also learn to palpate the cranial bones and see if there's distortions there. But a lot of it can be done just visually. You look directly at the person. And if their left ear is elevated, their left eye is up, you know they have cranial bone distortions. In other words, the bones within their skull are twisted. They're not level, not even. Mm-hmm. And that just creates inherent blockages. Just like if your car frame has been bent in an accident, the brake line is crimped, the electrical wires are pinched. Mm-hmm. Nothing's running quite right. The car, you're trying to drive the car straight, and yet it goes off to the left. your body does the same exact thing if your head is twisted up inside. Mm-hmm. And we get those bones lined up over the course of time. And there's where all the dizziness tends to go away, the headaches go away. But it's a process that takes time and patience. And you're right, it's not overnight. If somebody wants it overnight, I refer them to FedEx and they go there.
Yeah. Now, talk more about the cranium, because that's really interesting to me. And it sounds like that is, of course, all of this could be serious. It just depends on where it's blocked and all. But how do these, what are the effects, I mean, of the cranium being blocked? I mean, you're talking like it shuts off some of the spinal fluid from flowing. I mean, that sounds very dangerous.
Yeah, it can be. But that explains why people get so many headaches and neck aches and they're in constant pain or brain fog.
I had a question on that, the brain fog. So this would have a lot to do with that too.
Of course it does.
Wow.
So the way it is, and Dr. Stack tapped a bit of this, but all of us are born with cranial bones being distorted because we sit upside down in our mother's womb. We're twisted sideways. Our neck is off to the side. Our shoulders are bent. We're born that way. Mm-hmm. Well, if that stays with you throughout life, and it does for, the research shows 95% of all infants are born with cranial distortions, that might catch up with you one day. And it's catching up, I hate to say it, with more and more people now.
Yeah.
And like you said, toxic environment, all that is tallying up. And they're all paying with migraines and headaches every day, it seems. And it's keeping us very, very busy. The neurologists are crazy busy prescribing drugs. The U.S. has the highest drug consumption rate in the world because we have so many doctors prescribing every day. Mm-hmm. And we find that we're able to really reverse the need for prescription drugs. And we do it day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like so many people, it sounds like pretty much all of us are affected.
Yes.
To one degree or other with this issue of the TMJ. Now, do you look at any other main area within the cranium that you need to look at? Or is it mainly the TMJ and everything to do with that?
Well, it's just part of it with a TMJ. When Dr. Stack first trained me, he showed me how he developed a specialty X-ray where you have the patient open their mouth really wide, and we do a front shot of the skull, and you can see it's called the zygomatic arch, the cheekbone, if it's twisted or bent. You can actually see that the temple region is turned, and the cervical spine in almost everybody is way out of place, it seems.
Huh.
Or the curvature of the neck is not present. The neck needs a little curvature for health. And very few people have good, healthy necks these days.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to ask, because I had a little personal information here. I had some x-rays done at a chiropractor, and the lady that walked by, I mean, she said my neck was all jacked up, you know, because I've lost the curvature in my spine. And, of course, what mm-hmm. the treatment he gave was some adjustments and gave me like a dinner roll thing I bought, which is kind of expensive, and I really could have just rolled up some towels anyway to put my neck on. But that's not really the answer if it's more in the head, the TMJ. So you're saying a TMJ problem can throw off the curvature of the spine and can take the curve out of the spine?
Oh yeah, definitely.
How does that do that? Because you're having to hold yourself a certain way, or how does that do that?
Well, it does that by causing individual muscles or muscle groups to go into spasm, which pull the bones out of place.
Oh.
So the treatment is not the bones particularly, it's the bones plus relaxing the muscles and getting everything to function normally.
Yeah, that's right. Because if your muscles are all tensed up, I mean, you can manipulate bones all day, but it's just eventually going to go back because the muscles are so tense.
That's right. The muscles insert into the bones.
That's
right. So if there's constant shrinkage or spasm, they pull the bones out of place. The minute they're put back into place by the chiropractor.
And this can get, the muscles can start getting tensed up when the TMJ is off.
Right.
Okay. And it's the main joint that you look at.
Excuse me, I didn't hear the question.
Yeah, it's the main area you look at. That it's really, the TMJ is like, it's kind of like Grand Central Station, if I'm understanding correctly, that you look at. I know other things are important, but you've got to make sure that's fixed first. And correct. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if once the TMJ is corrected and working like it should, then do the muscles relax and everything kind of fall back into place like it should? Or do you need like treatment, like chiropractic treatment and other things along with it to help everything else get lined back up once the TMJ is corrected?
Well, after the TMJ is corrected, you reevaluate the patient and see what they need.
Okay. Yeah.
In other words, we're constantly rediagnosing the patient's case, mm-hmm. and they need fewer and fewer additional treatments as we go on.
Okay. What's an example of a patient where they came in, you know, say they have all these different symptoms, the neck, the curvature's out of the neck, they have headaches, they can't sleep good, you know, just et cetera, and their TM joint is out of balance, and you get that corrected. Just as an example, I know every case is different, but just as an example, what would be, you can just take a case, an anonymous case that you've had, of the next problem you look at once the TMJ is corrected, to just so people can see just a little idea of the progression of things.
How the teeth mesh together when the patient bites together, okay. or bites down. Mm-hmm. Usually there's a gap between the upper and lower back teeth, which means the teeth should be taller or replaced with crowns or something else that provides this elevation of the back teeth to close the gap.
And that's designed, Beverly, to, if you close the gap between the back teeth or make your back teeth taller, it brings the jawbone down out of the socket a little bit, which takes pressure off the disc.
Oh, and the TMJ.
Well, the TMJ system is the disc, the condyle,
right.
joint, or the whole thing.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so really, a person would not, if you're having some of these symptoms, really, a person needs to have this checked out first before having any expensive dental work done, because they're not going to get the correct dental work done if their TMJ is off.
Correct.
Very much so correct.
Wow.
And then the patient can tell this themselves by how far they can open their mouth. You should be able to open your mouth 2 inches or 50 millimeters. Mm-hmm. And anything less than that should be highly suspicious of malfunction. So if a patient can only open 25, 29 millimeters, 30 millimeters, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a tip-off right away before they get their teeth rebuilt by the dentist.
Yeah. And then once you get the teeth then built up, because like you said, sometimes in some cases you may have to put crowns on to build the teeth up.
Yes.
To keep it.
But we first realign everything, Beverly. Get the joints happy and healthy first. Mm-hmm. Get the discs back in place. Get the cranial bones looking stable. And then we figure out how to, as Dr. Stack used to say, lift up the pretty white things to support what you just found is the right place.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
Fortunately, it's being all done backwards these days.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it.
We have a lot of gripes with the orthodontists, with the crown and bridge specialists, and there's a lot of dentists out there that don't understand any of this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they'll go ahead and restore a patient's bite or mouth or teeth, whatever you want to call it, and they're put in the wrong place to support the joints, and the poor patient doesn't know why they have an ongoing headache or can't swallow or neck pain the next year or two later. They never knew what it came from, so they go to a neurologist instead, and the neurologist puts them on pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And that's just putting a Band-Aid, and I preach all the time about not putting Band-Aids on things, but getting to the root cause of the problem and fixing it. And you're living proof that when that's fixed, then usually, more times than not, everything else, you know, all the other problems just kind of go away once you get to the root cause. But this is a prime example of how you're treating the leaves of the, so many doctors treat the leaves and the branches, and they never get to the root cause of these problems.
So true.
And these problems with the neck, you know, we're talking about, you know, it can affect the that the TMJ, if it's off, can pinch nerves and affect things in the cranium, you know, and in your neck. But look, it doesn't just stop from the head and neck. Once that is off, it filters through your whole body. You know, it's like a domino effect. And you can have, I'm sure it would cause you to, or contribute to poor posture, which also can affect other things. And so, wow, this is really important, because, you know, once the muscles are, they're not just, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would assume they're not just going to be tight in your neck and head. They're going to be tight in other places. And with all the stress everybody's under, they're going to be tight anyway, but that can throw off, you know, the bone structure, you know, with just that. Do you have anything to say with that? Is that kind of along the same line?
For example, we now have a physical therapist in this office every Friday who sees about 8 or 9 patients every morning, and he deals with them from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. And the concept is that we put in the scaffolding, the foundation for people to get better, but he has to line up their hips, their legs, their knees, mm-hmm. their feet, shoulders, back, everything to help them out for the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. And as long as you start realigning the entire body, the joints respond in kind and the patients get better.
Wow. Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I'm really thrilled to have you on. And we're going to take another break and we're going to be back, talk more about this very interesting subject and how, you know, you get the TMJ corrected, it can help correct a whole host of other problems that you may be having. This is Beverly Butler, and I'll be right back with Dr. Brown and Dr. Stack.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, we're back. I'm here with Dr. Brown and Dr. Stack. Well, when a patient first starts with you, how long, and I know it differs with patients, but on average, ballpark, how long does it take for patients to start noticing an improvement once they've been fully examined and everything is done, like, you know, you've got them started?
Well, I had one a couple weeks ago that I put a couple ALF appliances in. She called from her car leaving our parking lot and said, "Oh my God, I'm all better. Bless you."
Wow.
I said, "You're not all better. We took, it's like an onion. We just got the really rotten outer layer off of it. We've got a lot more layers to go." A lot of these people don't know how bad they've been hurting and for how long they've tolerated it. I mean, sometimes I get kids in here who I palpate the muscles and everything hurts. And they thought that was normal as a child. And the poor mother is sitting there crying because her son is in such terrible pain. She didn't know. He didn't know that that's not normal.
Wow. That's sad, but it's so great that you were able to help them.
Oh, yeah. We were certainly able to help them.
Yeah. Now, how long is the treatment? I mean, is it just pretty much a lifelong thing that you have to, you know, you said your patients comes yearly, which, you know, a lot of people go in, you know, for a yearly annual exam to the regular doctor. I mean, this would be probably better than that. But how long, you know, during the initial treatment till they get to, I guess you'd call it maintenance phase, what is the average on that?
I would say that the patients begin to feel improvement anywhere from immediately to a month's time. Mm-hmm. By 6 months' time, they're all ready to rock and roll.
Okay.
It's not a problem anymore. In the overwhelming majority of cases, in fact, none spring to mind that took longer than 3 or 4 months. But then there's wear and tear of the appliance and loss of the appliance where they have to be replaced due to no fault of mine or anybody else's. And we just get them out of pain as quickly as we can. Now, some that we can reduce the pain a lot, but there's still a little nagging pain left we just can't get rid of. We have to surgerize those patients. And maybe that's just 5 or 10% of the patients. But they, the surgeon, we send them to a surgeon. We line the jaws up with a mouthpiece, a pre-surgical mouthpiece. He does the surgery to the position we've lined them up in. And then they heal up in that position. And then they're better.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So we have that as a catch-all for the rest of the patients that we can only partially improve. And there's reasons for that. Previous fractures where the jaw's been banged up. There's a condition called ankylosis where the joints, bones fuse to each other abnormally. All these esoteric positions. We then can treat surgically to a much greater extent.
Mm-hmm. And then your question about how long does all this take? What we tell folks these days is let's work with you for a year to two on appliance therapy. And if you need surgery, then it's about a 6-month period of healing post-surgery. After 6 months, then we can talk about the braces or the crowns or whatever to lift your teeth up. Braces will take a couple of years. So potentially you're stuck with us for four and a half years if it goes into surgery and the full length of treatment. It all depends.
Right. But you're working to get your life back, though. So that's...
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. I personally have hundreds of patients. I call them circling the airport.
Yeah.
The one, and they're mostly females who we've done the appliances for them, and the discs are still out of place, but they say, I feel good. No one's going to change this for me. I'll wear your appliances forever. Mm-hmm. And they're circling the airport in that fashion. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And then the others, insurance won't pay, so they can't afford it. So they wear the appliances forever. But as long as they're happy and they're productive, we're fine with that. But they are stuck with us. Unfortunately, that's the truth of it.
Okay. Now, these appliances, you're talking about a mouthpiece. Do they have to... Does a typical patient have to wear the mouthpiece? Like, I assume you're saying you mean sleep in a mouthpiece. Do they have to do that for the rest of their life?
It will. I mean, you wear the appliances 24/7.
Oh, really?
Because the discs are slipped 24/7. It would be foolhardy to take the devices out and eat, unless it's a certain kind of case, that is. But for severe TMJ cases, you must wear that device on your lower teeth all times while you're eating. Otherwise, you'll bang up and destroy the discs.
Oh. Emphasize to your listeners that they eat with the appliance, they sleep with the appliance, they make love with the appliance, or else they're wasting their time.
Okay. Well, is this appliance very, I mean, is it pretty comfortable, or is it very noticeable?
No, it's not noticeable. It's all internal. It's comfortable when it's in the patient's mouth, decompressing the joint. It's just a better place to be. It's not one of these night appliances or whenever you feel you need it appliances.
Okay, so it's comfortable. It's not something that's going to
Correct.
Interfere with your life or be very uncomfortable or anything.
No.
Well, in the beginning, I tell my patients, you just might hate me for about 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. and you'll talk like this, but your body says, like all of a sudden, and Dr. Stack's right, the body kind of says eventually, wait a minute, I'm a little better today. I'll put up with this in my mouth. And it's more like a tolerance thing. I having worn one myself, I truly hated myself for making the darn thing, but I got used to it within a week and said, wow, this is so much better. Mm. But you learn to compensate with it.
Mm-hmm. So it helps you sleep better, which would help you, it would probably help your, that would, it by itself would help your overall fatigue, because so many people are tired nowadays, you know.
Well, you know, that's coming around a little more that sleep disordered breathing, I think, is a bit of a fad right now.
Because
we all have TMJ disorders, and when those discs are slipped, it's causing tightening in the throat, which is causing breathing problems. And the patient that wears this device on their lower teeth sleeps better. So maybe they don't have sleep disordered breathing. Maybe they just have a TMJ problem, because everybody seems to sleep better with our appliances.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I would say this would help sleep apnea. Have you noticed, does it help that?
Most definitely. But there's other ways, Beverly. We actually, we use the ALF or ALF appliances to get things moving better, and it stretches open the upper and lower jaws, making more room for tongue seal. And that is a way that we use to actually cure sleep apneas.
Okay.
And again, it's treating a TMJ problem ultimately, and the cranial bones distortion, and the apnea tends to dissipate quite nicely.
Wow. That is very, very interesting. Well, tell us really quickly, give us, now, like, if I wanted to, just say, for instance, I'll give myself an example. If I wanted to come to you guys, I'm having some tick problems or, you know, headaches or whatever my problem is that I feel like that you guys might be able to help me. What's the procedure? I mean, what just briefly go over what a new patient would need to do to see your guys. And first of all, now, where are you guys located?
We're in Falls Church, Vienna. Well, formerly Vienna, Virginia. We're in Falls Church, Virginia now. We built a new office about a year ago. So as I'm sitting here with Dr. Stack, we're looking at the 495 Beltway around Washington, D.C. We're four levels up in the air looking at the trees. It's quite beautiful. Just today alone, Beverly, this morning I saw patients from New York, Pennsylvania, Texas, Oklahoma, and I don't know what other state they were from. But they fly in and we see them if they're from out of state, for example. Venus, our office manager, does all the arrangements with hotels, transfers, and things like that. We're geared up completely for a new patient procedures. And we have a protocol that we email to the patient and say, okay, here's some ideas on where to stay, what it costs, walking distance from a hotel. But the first visit is 40 minutes where we do the exam. And then more than likely order an MRI, and we get that set up in advance too. And then the patient comes back a day or two later to review the MRI findings. Mm-hmm. And that's the day that they'll see what's going on. We're pretty good about showing them exactly what's wrong, what our goals would be to try to fix things. And then we fit them for appliances based upon that.
Okay. And then so then they get the appliances before they leave, and then they just go home and start wearing it?
Now, the way it works is if it's a lower appliance for decompression of the joints, we'll have it ready in a couple of days. But the ALF appliance takes 3 to 4 weeks to manufacture, which is about when you're due back for your first appointment to check the lower appliance anyway.
Okay.
But for local patients, it's not a problem whatsoever. It's the travelers that we have to work with carefully.
Yeah. So how often after the initial visit do you need to come back?
Well, generally, about a week or two after the first fitting, we like to see you, unless you're coming from a different state, and then it's a month later.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, how many other doctors are doing this?
Well, most of the other doctors are their general dentists, and they do some of this. I would have to say Dr. Stack's protocol is extremely detailed, extremely precise, and I don't know of anyone else that does into the detail that he established for our protocol.
Okay.
Which is why we teach it. We try to teach it, I should say. Yes.
Okay. Okay, and you're located in Virginia?
Yes, right between DCA, Ronald Reagan Airport, and Dulles International.
Okay. And just to sum it up here, so basically these problems, you have a very high success rate with treating problems such as Tourette's and Parkinson's and head jerks. And what are some of the other symptoms, just to give the audience a broad view of what you treat and have had success in treating?
Well, with children, for example, a lot of them do not have enough room for all their teeth to come in. Mm-hmm. So if we use the ALF appliances and develop their arches, the side benefit is, number one, we make more room for the teeth, so they hopefully don't have to pull teeth. Secondarily, they breathe better, they sleep better, they function better, they do better neurologically. Symptoms that the children see, like I see a lot of kids with ADD and OCD and sleep apnea. A lot of sleep apnea in children these days for some reason.
Wow.
And we go after those symptoms and we're able to treat those quite nicely. A lot of children are starting to show up with headaches as well. Migraines are even becoming much more common with children for some reason too. Mm-hmm. Back to what you said on toxins in the environment, the developmental problems, all the radiation out there, the McDonald's out there, those things.
Yeah.
They're contributory.
Yeah. And it seems to me like that this would help just because you're getting the body back in alignment with the way it's supposed to be and thus getting it to where it works the way God intended for it to work, then it would seem like, and especially getting the cranial fluid flowing and all that like it's supposed to, seems like it would make it just automatically easier to detox for your whole body to be able to detox itself.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Which is critically important to getting well from anything. I mean, you've got to be able to get these toxins out of your body.
Also, in addition to these benefits, we are starting to notice that a young child's IQ increases about 10 to 20 points or 10 to 30 points.
Wow.
Which can frequently take a person who's classified as retarded to normal.
Now say that, no, the points again, did you say 10 to 20 or 30 points?
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, that's a big jump. That can change a child's life. Just that.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm getting chills right now. That can change a child's life.
It may be that because they're now sleeping well, they're now developing better. That might be the reason why they improve so much.
That's right. That's right. Because if you don't sleep, you know, your brain's not, nothing's going to work like it's supposed to, and you're not going to detox like you're supposed to if you don't sleep. Wow, very interesting. Well, this is just amazing, and I'm just thrilled to have you on here to be interviewing you and getting this information out. Before we close here, what advice would you have for people that, or anything you'd like to say to people listening, and also give them you have a website and your phone number. The website is sleepandtmjtherapy.com. I'll also have that on the show notes at the bottom of the podcast. And also your number is 703-821-1103. And, of course, you can go to the misdiagnosedlife.com and check that out under the podcast notes. So what would you, like to say to people before we close?
Well, we have available some videotapes or DVDs for other doctors who are interested in this, doing this kind of work. And they're manufactured in Canada by a place called Bonarc Supply Company in Ontario.
I'll give that. I'll pass it over to you, Beverly, via fax or something. Okay, so if anyone's interested.
Okay.
The advice I would personally give to potential patients is, just take a look at your kid. Look at your family members. If the ears and the eyes are all twisted, unbalanced, and all that, they're going to have a TMJ problem.
Yeah.
So that's something that should be looked at before they endeavor to do orthodontics, especially.
Okay.
Because if you force the teeth where they don't want to go, you will pay a price for that eventually, and that price can be pretty high. So we do a lot of orthodontic screening for children in this office now. We do it for free. Uh-huh. Just say, bring little Johnny and Mary Sue here. Let's give you some advice on where they're going to be going orthodontically so they don't even have to consider pulling adult teeth, which is awful to do. It collapses the airway, causes all sorts of neurological issues later on, uh-huh. And nobody should be doing such things.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you so much. And again, I will put your information on the website below the show notes of this podcast. It's sleepandtmjtherapy.com. You can go there and find out more and contact them. if you think that, you know, you may have an issue that they can help. And this sounds like it's going to be really, really good and is really good, especially for, you know, children with autism, ADD, and OCD, and tics, Tourette's, and that kind of thing. And, you know, these type problems are really hard on children. They're hard on, you know, the parents too, but the children, especially the tics and the jerking and all that, that really is hard on children. And so anything you can do to help that, and I know parents would be really wanting to check into that. So thank you so much, Dr. Stack and Dr. Brown. I really appreciate all the hard work that you've done, that you're doing to help people in this way. And I'm so thankful that this has been, that Dr. Stack, you've discovered this and developed this technique. And Dr. Brown, you're carrying on the torch. I really appreciate all this. And again, for more information, you can go to sleepandtmjtherapy.com. And just as a little medical disclaimer, the information in the show is for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose or treat any disorder. If you have a health concern, always consult a qualified healthcare practitioner. And this is Beverly Butler, and you've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.